the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." And when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'?" Thus far, our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is Jesus? These days you hear all kinds of people talk about Jesus. Some say he was a great example and a good teacher. Others describe Jesus as one who is all accepting and never judges anyone. There are a lot of opinions about who Jesus is. But so many times people's opinions about who Jesus is really just a reflection of who they want Jesus to be. Perhaps they want a Jesus who doesn't have a problem with anything that they do. Or they want a Jesus who will give them a boost when they need it the most. Some even want a Jesus who is a good example to live by, but definitely not God in human flesh. The thing is, we don't get to pick the kind of Jesus we like. Jesus comes as God in human form, no matter what we think of him. Jesus comes in judgment and to give forgiveness. Jesus comes in wrath and in love. Jesus comes in law and in gospel. And in the text for this day, Jesus comes to crush the prideful and to bring up the lowly. In the parable given this day, Jesus tells of a man who plants a vineyard. And he lets it out to tenants and goes off to another country. What does this master do? He sends for his fruit via a servant. And do the tenants give the servant the fruit? Do they send him off with baskets full of fruit? No. Instead, they beat up the servant and send him home empty-handed. Now at this point, any master in their right mind would be irate at this injustice. This vineyard is not the tenants. It is not their own fruit. When the master sends for the fruit, they should deliver. But what's more is they beat up the poor guy that just comes as a servant to his master. But the master does not come in his wrath. Instead, he sends another servant. This time, will the tenants give the master his fruit? No, again, they wound the servant and send him back to the master. Now this time, the master must be furious. But this master is apparently very slow to anger, and again, sends a third servant to receive his fruit. This is no different than the other two. This servant is beaten and sent away without the fruit. At last, the master is done sending servants and decides he is going to send his very own son. He figured they may not listen or respect his servants, but they will listen to his son. My son is my own flesh and blood. He's a part of me. They will listen to my son, the master reasoned. The tenants, however, had the very opposite idea. Instead, they reasoned that this son was the one who would receive the fruit by the father's inheritance. They thought, if we kill the son, then we will get the inheritance instead of him. That's exactly what they did. They killed the son to get his inheritance. The parable ends when those whom Jesus is talking to surmise that the master will come to kill the tenants who beat the servants and killed them. This parable is a parable about the Israelites. The tenants are the people of God whom God has chosen. The servants, they're the prophets of God who time after time Israel rejected. Prophets who are sent by God as mere servants, as spokesmen, calling Israel to repentance. But Israel refused. You know, prophets like Elijah who said, "The sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Or prophets like Jeremiah who said, "I have sent you all my servants, the prophets. They did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did more evil than their fathers." The people of Israel were just like the tenants of this vineyard. They continually rejected the servants whom the master sent. God, however, is patient and slow to anger. What he did is sent his only begotten Son into the flesh, into this world. For when Jesus, who is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, stands before them in the form of man, then they will listen, right? Then they will repent and know of God's demands. Jesus tells this parable standing amid the Jewish leaders of the day. He stands there, right in front of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, telling this parable to the very people who would reject him, to the very tenants who schemed to kill the master's son. Jesus tells them through this parable that they are going to kill him before they even plot to do so. And when they finally figure out that this whole story is about them, what do? They get angry and want to kill him. The Jewish leaders of the day had an idea of God that Jesus did not fit into. They thought of God as one who gave them manageable rules to keep, rules that they were keeping quite well. If you were to go up to one of the Pharisees and ask them, "What does God think of you?" he would respond, "Well, God is pretty pleased with me because I'm doing everything that he wants me to do. I never take more than 2,000 steps on the Sabbath. I observe all the washing rituals so that I am clean. And I even pray constantly. You can hear me pray on the street corners." The Pharisees and the Sadducees thought that God would give them 2 thumbs up for all of their good deeds, for perfectly obeying the law, so they thought. The Jesus they had in mind would be just like them. Since they thought that they were doing everything God wanted them to do, he would walk around just like they would, only with power. They expected the Messiah to come and rule the land, that he would be their king. And they would be his right-hand men. Jesus, however, didn't fit their ideas of who the Messiah would be. Jesus instead came to proclaim that which all the other prophets before him proclaimed: repentance. God is not pleased by our works of righteousness. There's nothing that you can do that God is pleased with, because all of man's works, all the things that you do, are tainted by original sin. Because of that, nothing is good enough. You shouldn't trust in your own abilities. They are like filthy rags before God. But I suppose that we are no better than the Pharisees, because we are born into the same sinful flesh as the Pharisees and the Sadducees. How dare we think that we are better than them? For we too look at ourselves and we think, God must be pleased with me. Or maybe we don't think of it at all, which is also part of the problem. In our sinful conditions, we can't live one second without being in violation of the Ten Commandments. And we don't even stop to think about how we've offended God. Let us listen to the prophets who beg us to repent. Because that is what Lent is all about. Repentance. How many times have our ideas of who Jesus should be fallen short of the real Jesus? The Jesus in our mind isn't bothered by anything that we do wrong. He always likes us and likes what we're doing. He would never breathe a word against anything that we do. But this is not the real Jesus. Jesus said, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken into pieces, and when it falls on anyone, he will crush him." Jesus here says that sin will not be tolerated, that the prideful will be broken down. You can't go on trusting in your own righteousness, because God won't let you. But there's something else that's being said here. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. As it turns out, the Jewish leaders did exactly what the tenants in Jesus' parable did. They killed the Son. They rejected him as they did all the other prophets. But the stone they have rejected has become the cornerstone of our faith. These religious leaders, who are supposed to be experts in the law, who are supposed to know the Word of God cover to cover, rejected God himself as he stood in their midst. But in doing so, by Jesus giving himself over, he has won salvation for us all. Salvation for those of us who, because of sin, are always looking at ourselves and our own good works. He has won salvation for those of us who simply fail to love our neighbor. For those of us who think that God could possibly be impressed with our works. The stone that they rejected is the same stone by which you and I are granted eternal life. Because Christ spilled his blood on that cross and became the cornerstone of faith for us, we are, in fact, pleasing before God. Not because he looks at us and our works, but because he looks at us who are clothed in the gleaming white robes of righteousness which have been washed in the blood of Christ. He is now pleased with us, because these are the robes that are given to us at our baptism. When water was poured upon your head and God issued you a promise, it was the promise of the forgiveness of all of your sins. Each and every sin that you would ever commit, they are all forgiven, and there is an eternal place in heaven prepared for you. You who are baptized, God has chosen you from all eternity for heaven, for salvation. So to answer the question, who is Jesus? One must only look to the cross. There you will see a Jesus that is beyond the ideas of Jesus that we could ever muster up. There we see a Jesus that is far more compassionate and more loving than any of us could imagine. It's a Jesus who would die right there in the face of wickedness, sin, and rejection. All this because he loved us and wants us back. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one with holes in his hands and his feet, giving himself to you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The parable of the vine grower is a parable about God doing what he said he was going to do. Jesus didn't fit the mindset of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they thought the Messiah would be some sort of earthly king. They wanted a king who would be impressed with all of their self-righteousness. But Jesus came for sinners, not for the self-righteous. This Lenten season, let us see ourselves as God sees us, as righteous. Not of righteousness of ourselves or our own works, for we have no righteousness in ourselves, but as the righteousness of Christ. For our righteousness is the righteousness that Christ has given to us. Our Lord will have his way with us, even if he has to die to do it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.